Harriet Kamek, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to ask you this question. Are you vulnerable before God? Yeah, that is true. Are you vulnerable? I mean, at some point in our lives, we are going to be vulnerable to something or to someone. I would prefer that it be God. Of course, in our interpersonal relationships, we're vulnerable to our spouses, our children, even to our employers at times. Vulnerability in this context does not imply weakness. But what it implies is that I need you to help me get through this. So vulnerability in this context sometimes is to ask for help. You're being vulnerable by saying that I can't get through this if you don't help me. And I need your help to get through this. I don't understand everything that is going on around me, but I need you to bear with me until I find my hope, until I find my faith. So we're going to examine this, and we're looking at Psalms 13 of the New King James Version of the Holy Scriptures of the Bible. I recognize that in the day and time we live that everybody else has every religion or every religious practice. Whatever your religious practice might be, you have a holy writing. I respect that. Your holy writing could be the Quran. It could be the writings of Shinto. It could be the writings of Buddha. Whatever your holy writings are, I respect that. Yours could be the Sanskrit. Sanskrit, if you're Hindu. For me, because I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, a man who lived in Galilee 2,000 years ago and who left, he and his followers left writings, and there were prophets before him. That's what I believe. So I am going to take you into my holy writings, into the Holy Scriptures. We refer to it as the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what King David was going through and why was he vulnerable. Imagine he's a king and he had been waiting on a promise from God. And while he waited on the promise, he found that he had to become vulnerable because the promise was taking forever to come. And that is a question I want to ask you. Are you waiting on a promise? And are you now vulnerable as a result of waiting on the promise? What do you do? Here is how you will get to the other side. Amen. If this is your first time watching us, or if this is your first time listening to this podcast, my name is Harriet Kamek. I'm an author and speaker. I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundation, an organization through which provides relief services to victims of human trafficking. So I'm going to invite you to go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com, and there you will find more information about who we are and about what we do. So let me take you real quickly into the scriptures. Again, I'm reading from Psalms 13. So it's a short scripture. There are only six verses. So we're going to read it in its entirety. And I know that it's going to provide you with some relief. Amen? Amen. So it reads like this. Psalms 13, verse 1. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul? I mean, you're tormented and asking God, where is he? So how long are you going to take some kind of counsel from that? Having sorrow in my heart daily. Who has never experienced sorrow? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. This is the psalmist. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Father, in Jesus' name, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I pray right now for someone who needs help to navigate and to go through what you're going through this week. In the name of Jesus, I pray that God will take you through it. I know it's been a while that you have been waiting and holding on, but I ask you and encourage you this day to take comfort in these words that come out of us, that come from the scriptures, to be encouraged and to hold on. I pray for those in war zones. I pray for the people of Palestine right now and the people in the Gaza Strip right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, that you find an exodus for them and that you provide for them and cover them, even though bombs are dropping from the sky. I pray for the people of Israel who live in terror, constantly worrying about when the next one will come. I pray for the families and the survivors. Oh God, the unimaginable wicked things we have seen this week. We pray for peace, not just in the Middle East, but in our hearts, in our homes, oh God, in our government, Lord God Almighty. Around the world, we pray for peace, and we exhort people to reach out and find brotherly love and acceptance. We don't always have to agree, but we can be accepting of one another. And Father God, I ask you to reign this week over us. Help us as we hold on to the promise of not just peace, but of the prosperity that you have promised us. Whatever the promise of healing has been, I pray right now for those in hospital rooms and contemplating surgeries this week and having to go to a doctor this week. In the name of Jesus, I pray that all will be well, that you cancel blood sugar, you cancel cancer, you cancel every kind of sickness or disease, wipe out viruses and its effects upon our bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that you provide for folks in the Sudan and folks in Ethiopia and Somalia. We pray right now for the people in Venezuela. We pray right now for people everywhere who are calling on your name, people in Bangladesh, people in Nigeria and in Pakistan. Oh God, we are your people, Lord God, and you are our God, and we look up to you and ask you for help as we lay ourselves vulnerable before you. In the mighty name of Jesus, it is so. Amen. It is so. Amen. So as you can see, the practice of being vulnerable is something that we should all engage in and being practiced. Yeah? Vulnerability, I know, implies some sort of weakness. But you have to know who you're being vulnerable to. If I'm going to be vulnerable, that means I am going to trust the person whom I'm vulnerable to. Isn't that right? Yeah. I am going to trust the person whom I'm vulnerable to. So you wouldn't find me, for instance, making myself vulnerable to someone I have no relationship with or someone I don't trust their fortitude or trust that they have my best interest at heart. We see the example here in this scripture that King David, the king, he was king at this point. He is saying to God, why have you forgotten me? Have you left me? I am here toiling, man. I'm out here working and I'm trying to believe. Have you forgotten me? You know why he could be that vulnerable to God? Because he trusted God. He knows that King David knew that at any moment, God is going to lift him up out of it. At any moment, God is going to come and deliver him. But while he's waiting and he's going through the turmoil and everything that could go wrong is going on, he trusted God through it. This is where we ought to be. This is the example of King David. We ought to be where we need to be. We ought to be trustworthy. We ought to be trusting of God. If I tell my children that they can be vulnerable to me and that they can come to me and share to me the deepest, darkest things in the recesses of their minds, I'm looking around the room because one of them is in the room and it may not go so well, right? But if I'm going to tell them that, what do they need to know? They need to know that whatever they tell me, whatever they expose me to about them, they are going to trust that I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to hurt them as a result. Do you understand? You go to your spouse and you say to your spouse, I have something to tell you, but I don't want you to get mad. I don't want you to lose it. I may be running from the room while I'm telling you because I know you may just go ballistic for a second. But you trust that at the end of it, they're going to see it. These are the times that we live in. We're going through uncertainties on every side. This is the week when you hear this recording. We've just seen a war erupt in the Middle East. We're already dealing with a war in Ukraine that looks like it's never ending. Here we go again to another war. And you and I are saying it comes in threes. Where is the third conflict going to erupt? Pray that it doesn't happen in my territory, in my country. That's the prayer we're all saying. So now we have come to this place where we're going to have to trust God. I don't know how it's all going to end up. I pray that it ends up the way that it ends up for all people to find peace and acceptance and amelioration. I hope that that's how it goes. But in the meantime, I'm still going to trust God that He will take us through it. I myself, I'm waiting on a promise from God. I haven't seen it yet. I'm still waiting. You know what I learned? I have to trust in God that He who promised is faithful and that He will deliver. It brings to mind that if we as humans find ourselves at the mercy of God and we are asking God for help and we are laying ourselves prostrate before God and praying and asking God to have mercy on us, we're not the only ones, are we? We found that King David did that. But you know who else did that? Guess. Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself. What did Jesus say? Jesus found Himself persecuted, abandoned, distorted, struck 39 times across His back with a strap. They whipped Him, thinking they could whip everything out of Him and destroyed Him. Then they made Him carry the cross for a mile and a half. And what did Jesus say as He was nailed on the cross? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those very words that Jesus said, King David echoed almost 4,000 years before. So 2,000 years later, here comes Harriet. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of everything going crazy, in the midst of all that I'm believing God for, I was just a person. I got divorced. I have two children, and I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do with two children? I had no financial support, no emotional support raising children in America with social media. Was I crazy? Yeah, I literally was. I thought it was going to send me crazy. And I'm like, Lord, where is the promise? Where is the promise? You promised me help. You promised that You would deliver me. You promised that You would provide. You promised. I laid myself out on the ground, on the altar before God, made myself vulnerable. I even thought there were people whom I could make myself vulnerable to. I even confessed to them and asked them. Maybe I thought I needed someone to pray with me. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of it. So I sought the power of agreement. I went to people and said, I'm believing God for this. Can you pray with me? I was so desperate. And some of those people didn't have my best interest at heart. They were not the person whom I should be, you said it, vulnerable to. What I learned is that who I am to be vulnerable to is God Almighty. And that, when that vulnerability kicks in, that awareness kicked in, it changed my perspective. So I literally said, I probably am going to have to wait this out. I am going to have to go through some of the most unpleasant situations that I have ever dreamed of, that I didn't think would ever happen to me, that I would not want to happen to my worst enemy. But this is where King David found himself. But listen to what he said at the end of it all. This is where the trust comes in. At the end of it all, he shows you how he trusts God. So I made some notes about this that I want to share with you. And I want to share it with you because I know that there are some of us who might be going through something like this. For some of us, life hasn't always been pleasant. Many of us have been waiting for years. It's been decades. God made you a promise. You have been through the ringer more times than you could count. You have given up and started over. Literally, you have had to watch as other people got blessed instead of you. You have had to watch people whom you prayed for, watch them walk off with a promise. You have watched even your enemies walk off and getting the promise, and you've had to say, God, have you forgotten me? God, have you forgotten that you promised me? Am I not forgotten? Am I not worthy of your mercy and your grace? Living witness. I have watched people whom I prayed for get blessed, and I am still in the same place. In a few days, there's something I have to do. I have to go attend a function. I haven't been in this space with these folks in the last 7 years. And I am saying to myself, I'm going back amongst people I haven't seen in 7 years. And I'm like, what is the progress, Harriet, that you have made in 7 years? What have you done in 7 years that has increased you? What have you accomplished? Because this is, you're human. Because they're going to talk about what they have done and they have accomplished. And what can you say that you have accomplished? And while that thought was going through my mind, I stumbled on Psalms 13. And I said, Lord God, have you forgotten me? Literally, David said everything that I wanted to say before God. And so I had to come to a place where I had to say to myself, but if David at the end of it found that, knew that he could trust God and he could be vulnerable to God, then I am going to have to do the same. I am going to have to trust God that in spite of the fact that I haven't gotten any of the promise, in spite of the fact that the stuff that I believe God for, the ideals, the dreams that I had, they have not come through, I am going to believe God anyhow. So here's some notes I made. David wrote the Psalms and he was complaining about the situation and the dilemma that he found himself in. But he was waiting on God's delivering power and begged God to bring him out of it. Here's the thing. When we feel deserted and alone, we should complain to God. So he did the right thing and you're doing the right thing. When you feel deserted and you feel like you can't carry the burden anymore and you can't do it anymore, you absolutely should go to God and complain. That's part of the relationship. That's part of unburdening yourself. You can't carry it all. You have to take it all off, because it will, if you consume you, it gives you anxiety and you don't want to have anxiety. It will give you high blood pressure. You don't want to have that. The promise should not be so burdensome. Unfortunately, we live in a real world where we are tried on every side. The third thing I want you to know about this is that you have to tell God his delay is unkind and hurtful. Yes, tell God, Father, you have me waiting, but it's painful. Father, it hurts. Oh, Lord God Almighty, it looks unkind. It looks like you don't love me. Don't pity-patty over it. Tell God how you feel. You know, sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't tell God how you feel. Let me ask you this. When your parent, you're an adult now, when you ask your parent for help and they don't do it, don't you tell them that your actions hurt me? You know what it does? It brings correction to the parent's point of view, but it also makes you feel better that I am not handing myself, completely subrogating my rights as a human. And I want you to acknowledge that your actions hurt me. That's what you're doing. You're holding God accountable to his own word. He says he's going to deliver you. He says he's going to, he made you a promise. Hold him accountable to it. Amen? Amen. The fourth thing about this is that God will pardon you anyhow. Because he loves you at the end of it. So he's going to pardon you. Just like Jesus said it, he's going to pardon you. And when you feel alone without friends, I am encouraging you that you ask God for help. Ask God and call on him and say, I ask myself, what am I to do to help myself? It's part of the process. You're waiting. Ask God, what am I to do right now while I wait? I found myself in a similar situation and I asked God, what do I do while I wait? Well, I got my hands busy. I formed the Exodus Foundation. I went back to school to get a degree. I did all of these things. Because I'm still waiting for the promise. So when the promise comes, what happens? I became anxious and sorrowful. And then here's a question I asked. I said, is this forever? Did I miss you, God? Did I not understand it? Is this me making up something? Because these are the questions that they ask. Is this forever? These are all legitimate and valid questions that are valid and affirming of your faith. And then here's something that happens. You lose hope. Have you ever been in that place? You lose hope while you're waiting. This is why it's important to be vulnerable to God. You go back to God and you say, this is what is happening to me. I have lost hope that this will change. This happened to me in 2019. I found myself sitting on my couch on a Sunday morning and I gave up. Had it not been for the fact that I had my children, I would never have made it through that Sunday morning. I lost hope that things would change. And suddenly I heard a voice say, turn on the TV to YouTube. And there was a song. I have never heard the singer before, never heard of her. I don't know how I knew her name. I just knew I would knew it when I saw it. And there she was singing a song. And that song stirred my hope up and brought me through. You have to trust God through these moments. These are real-time issues that we face. I can't come to you and tell you that every day is like living on a mountaintop and it's all hunky-dory and it's all flowers. And my daughter likes to say it's all daisies in a field and it's all bright lights. Most of the times, life is not like that. But what I can tell you is that when you get to those times, when you get to those moments, when it feels like it's almost making me cry, my eyes are watering and I have on mascara. I don't want it, you know, to look like, you know, it's Halloween season. I don't want it to look terrible here. But I've been through the ringer. I'm still going through it. What I have now is I go from hope to hope. You find that you get just a little glimmer of hope that enables you to survive for the next 10 minutes, the next 10 hours, the next 10 days, the next 10 weeks, the next 10 months. And it helps you step by step to unravel yourself from everything that has kept you bound up. Hope is powerful. Don't lose your hope. This is the thing that hurts most of us as we go through situations, is we lose hope. It's not a tendency. It's the fact that you look around you and sometimes you find that you're the only one who is still in the same place. Everybody else has moved on. Has that happened to you? That happened to me. Everybody else moved on and I was the only one still left standing in the same place. I almost lost myself. It was so painful. I can talk about it today, but a few years ago, I couldn't talk about it. It made me tearful that it was one of those moments that scratched yourself. It was my sister who started praying me through. God bless her. There is someone you can be vulnerable to. And my prayer for you is that you find someone today who you can be vulnerable to, who can take you to the throne of grace, who can take you and direct the prayers to God and say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for you right now if this is for you. You have lost your hope. Going through this, I pray that these words find you and encourage you, then lift you up. Just as God had to come and lift me up, that he will lift you up. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray right now for that. We pray that God will give you the strength. And here are the words I want you to say, that God strengthens me, that he refreshes me, and that he lightens the burden. Please, dear God, don't let me die. Just like the psalmist said, he said, lighten my eyes so that you don't die before you see the salvation of the Lord. You don't die before you get the promise. I remember that saying that. I said, improve my situation and lighten my burden. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. Don't let Satan get the victory. Don't let them rejoice over me. And after praying, you say, Lord, give me strength. And I'm going to tell you this. One of the best things that you do is believe. Finally, my friends, believe. Believe that the God you have made yourself vulnerable to, the God who has come to you, that God is going to bring you through. Believe. You know what believe means? Believe means because Emmanuel lives, I expect victory every time. Because Emmanuel lives. I remember when I first heard that, I was in a very bad place. I didn't know how it was going to go. I had two young children. I lived in a situation where I had to get out of it. It was 20 years ago. And I didn't know what I was going to do. The process and the vulnerability had come. This is your moment of deliverance. This is your moment when you're being set free, that God has come to you to set you free. That God, the God of all heaven and earth, the God who created the universe and everyone and everything in it, the God who created Palestine and Israel, the God who created the people in the Gaza Strip, the God who created the people in the White House, the God who created the people in Germany, in England, in the Sudan, Somalia, Ethiopia, the God who created the people who are running in Haiti trying to get to economic independence, the God who created all of this, even the God who is now hovering over Vladimir Putin to stop the war in the Ukraine, that God has come. In the name of Jesus, I speak life into your circumstances. I pray that you will have a supernatural, overnight, expeditious deliverance, that God will come. The same God that through this process, through this message, has made himself to you, whom you have made yourself vulnerable to. I pray your enemies will not get there before you. Your enemies will not be exalted before you. God has not forgotten you. God will come and deliver you. God, whom you have made yourself vulnerable to, is going to give you the strength to rise up. He's going to give you the strength to pull you up and to lay himself over you and to hold you by the hand. Yes, you can say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, you can say it over and over again. God, help me. God will bring you deliverance. And I say this with all astonishment that the God I believed in, he did take me through. In 2019, when I sat on that couch on that Sunday morning, and I did not think I could face the end of the day. I didn't know if I were going to make it to the end of the day. I had no hope. For the first time in my life, I felt hopeless. Can you believe it? There is a thing called the mid-50s, isn't it? There's a thing called midlife. All this time I was striving and I believed that it would work out for my good. Never occurred to me that it would work out any other way but work out for my good. And in 2019, I came to the realization that all my enemies had been exalted. They all had moved on. Everybody, I was the only one who stayed in place. But God came and rescued me. And he helped me and gave me provision for the vision. He gave me strength and hope. And that's my prayer for you today. That you will find hope and that you will find peace and that your joy will come back. Whatever it is, I cancel every attack. I cancel any negative word coming from the doctor, any negative words coming from the governor, any negative tax bills, any negative words from the president. I cancel any negative situation that would come against you. I pray peace in your life, just like I pray for peace with the president, peace with the governor, peace with everyone in government, peace with all governments everywhere, that we will find suddenly our hearts are amenable to peace. And I pray for you right now in the name of Jesus, that God will lift you up and that he will deliver you. Amen. Amen. This is Harriet Kamak saying be blessed.